So I hope you feel open to the Spirit this morning. Feel the movement in this place. So we are going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And since it's Pentecost Sunday, I have to read from the book of Acts. Sometimes I get a choice, but there are a few holidays where we kind of have to stick to the script. And this being one. So if you could turn to Acts 2, the book of Acts, chapter 2, we're going to read from the first two through the fourth verse. Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. And it reads as thus. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Father God, we come to you now, looking for a word, looking for an inspiration, looking for healing. Lord, we ask that you move in this place, open our hearts and our minds that we can receive the Holy Spirit and hear what it is that you have purposed for us in this moment. Lord, I ask that you consecrate me now by the power of your grace so divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope and let my will be lost in thine. It's in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 It's Pentecost. We all have kind of this idea of what it is. The moment where the Spirit of God moved on the disciples and filled them, and they went out and did a mighty thing. Well, it's interesting because in our own lives, we kind of are looking for a Pentecost sometimes, aren't we? We want the Spirit to move in our life in such a way that we can go out and make a difference, do something where we can see the results of what we're doing. Wouldn't it be awesome if today we could go outside and start speaking to people and they just fell out in the Spirit? Just, it's rolling out and the devil jumped out of them. And if we had that kind of power, amen, you know some people you want to get the devil out of them right now, don't you? This was the idea. This is what Pentecost was all about. But to go a little deeper, it also marked the beginning of what we understand to be the church. The church, we see it now, and we see the buildings, we see denominations, we see different groups, but really the church was established on that day, on Pentecost, by the Holy Spirit. See, initially it's called Pentecost because it was a day of feast. It was the Pentecosti in the Greek. And it was 50 days after Passover. And so you get Penta for 50. And it was another feast that they celebrated. It was very customary for Jews to come together and to eat together on this day. And they celebrated the law sent from Moses on Mount Sinai, where he gave them all the laws of God. We understand them as the Ten Commandments, but there were a lot more laws that came along with them. And so that was the beginning of the Old Testament. That was the beginning of what God was establishing through the Jews. That was one mark. And so here we have a New Testament, a new mark, where again, God is sitting on high and is giving us a new law, a new way of being, a new spirit. The first fruits of the Christian church. Whereas in Mount Sinai, Moses gave legal law, in this instance, the Spirit gives us an evangelical law, a law that's going to move people, that's going to change people's lives. One came from a mountaintop, the other one came from heaven, where God promised, Jesus told them, there will come another who will move you. It will be me in a different form. Whereas at Mount Sinai, it was a scary time. The Jews were down there acting up, and Moses came down and said, be still and know that your God is watching you. Obey these laws. And they were terrified. Well, in this instance, too, the disciples were alone. They were scared. But the Spirit came down and empowered them, moved in their lives, let them know once again that God was real and God was able. And so today, I want to examine the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit moves in our lives. And I came with a little acronym the Spirit gave me of heaven-sent, omnipotent love for you and for me. First, it's heaven-sent. Jesus told them several times that there would come one after me. When he first told them that he was going to leave them, they were all upset. They didn't understand why he had to go. They thought he was literally going to walk away from them. And he was saying, no, you don't understand. When I leave, I'm sending someone who's going to be greater than me. Verse says, verily I say to you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And we know him as our comforter, the one we can turn to. And here, just like the disciples, they were alone. They didn't know what was going to happen next. In this journey that we're on, we may have someone with us. We may have friends. We may have a spouse, our kids. But essentially, we're alone in this walk. It's our walk. No one really can understand all the things that an individual goes through the course of their life. The myriad of things that have made us who we are in this moment. But the Spirit does. Spirit has always been with us from our inception, conception, maturation, to right now. The Spirit is always there. And it was sent by God for us. When we don't know what else to do, when the words in our minds that we try to think of, our reasoning seems to not quite be enough, there's a Spirit that teaches us what to say. The grumblings, the murmurings of the Spirit, when we don't say anything at all, the Spirit is speaking for us. Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to say a word. We don't have to think a thing. But because we have accepted Christ, there's a Spirit that is petitioning for us, that understands better than we do what we need. Because we don't understand it all. Oh, if we did, we'd have it all worked out. Everything would be fine. But we have our struggles. We're not always perfect. We say things that we wish we could take back. We hurt people when we don't mean to. But the Spirit, the Spirit is our advocate and our comforter, saying, I know what you did. It's okay. I know you're scared. It's okay. I know life isn't treating you fair. It's okay. I'm here and I'll never leave. It's heaven sent. Life is full of ups and downs, but there's an omnipotent presence that's always with us, there to comfort us. I'm reminded of a very popular movie that you all might have seen before, called Star Wars. If you haven't seen it, raise your hand. Well, there's a scene at the end that always sticks with me, where the old Obi-Wan, right? The teacher, the wise man of the group. He's sitting there and he knows his mission. It's like he's been sent by God. He knows exactly what he needs to do. He looks like the most unbecoming of everybody, the one you would fear the least. He's kind of old and worn. He's got a hoodie on all the time, like he's trying to hide something. Tattered clothes. And here he is at the end, going to face the most powerful evil force in the universe, Darth Vader. And you're thinking, there's no way this is going to work out for his good. And he knows that too. But he knows what he has to do. And as he's there fighting Vader, and he sees Luke go running by, and Luke stops, and Obi-Wan stops. He stops fighting, puts down the lightsaber, and he allows Vader to kill him. Now, I'm sure George Lucas understands the Bible. Because if this isn't Christ, I don't know what else is. See, Obi-Wan is giving his life. Why? Just because? No, because he says in that moment, when you kill me, I'll become so much greater. And this is what Christ understood. That the world could do whatever it wanted to him. You can hang me on a cross. You can beat me. You can pierce me. Punish me all you want. Do what you want to this flesh. Because when I die, I'm going to become so much stronger. Because he understood that the Spirit was going to come. And see, what Christ couldn't do in the flesh, being in flesh, is he couldn't enter into someone else's body. He couldn't influence outside of his words. That wasn't his purpose. His purpose was to come, to teach, but his purpose was to die. So the Spirit that was in him would be released. And that Spirit moves in us. All who accept him receive that Spirit. And so each and every one of us are walking around with Christ's Spirit inside of us, moving us, trying to get us to turn to it. Little inclinations, little instincts, right? You always see the angel and the devil on the shoulder, the old cliche. Well, if it was that simple, but it's actually our whole spirit. That Holy Spirit is right there. But we are allowed to wander off in our minds, make other decisions that we want, allow the world's influence to tell us what's best. But when we have those moments of clarity where we just say, Lord, I'm broken. I surrender. Everything I've tried just isn't working anymore. I give it up. Just like the disciples in the room, not knowing what else to do. When our hearts are open, then we feel that Spirit. And that Spirit is saying, get up. Let's go. I'm with you always. When the world says you can't, that Spirit says, yes, you can. When the world says, sit down, you're in bondage, you're weak, you have no power, that Spirit says, yes, you can. I've given you all the power. It's the encouragement. It's everything we need to get through this life. And when we turn to it, when we stop letting the chatter and the noise of the world inside and make us feel shaken, when we turn that out, and we tune in to that omnipotent presence, what happens? We find peace. We find joy. No matter what's going on the outside, well, no matter what the issue is, no matter who's sick, no matter who's hurting, no matter what's happening to us, we have a peace about it. Like, you know what? it is going to be okay. Because I've got God on my side. And this God that's in me is going to propel me, gives me the strength to claim victory through everything. Amen?
Amen.
And it's that victory that swells up in us and shows and expresses itself through love. See, the Spirit gives us truth. John 16 says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. That word truth is a tricky thing in this day and age, because we like to reason everything out, right? So truth to us, or at least by academic standards, truth is a relative term. You have your truth, I have my truth. But what is really truth? Well, real truth is everlasting. It's not something to be debated. It's factual, it's actual, it's consistent. And so Jesus is saying, the Spirit of truth I leave to you, and it will show you the truth. Now, the truth isn't always easy to accept. A lot of times we don't like hearing the truth, do we? A lot of times when we hear the truth, what do? It makes us upset. That's kind of a clear way of knowing someone's telling you the truth, isn't it? Makes you a little uneasy. But that's the beauty of it. Because we want friends. We want people around us who will tell us the truth about ourselves, don't we? Or maybe you don't, but you should. I know I do. If we can't take the criticism, constructive criticism, then we won't grow, we won't learn. We can't see really who we are all the time. And so the Spirit comes, and the Spirit says, I'm giving you the truth about yourself. And what is that truth? That truth is that, yes, you're a sinner. You live in sin. You were born into sin, and you're supposed to just die. That's the truth. And it's also truth that Christ came, Christ died. And Christ died so that you don't have to. And the truth is, if you believe in Jesus, that you have an everlasting life. And we say that, we know that, but do we live that? Do we really believe that, you know what, all this stuff happening, I have an everlasting life. This thing, this Spirit I'm carrying around is eternal. It's going to go on and on. So why don't I lean on that for my strength? Why do I keep bumping around by what the world is trying to tell me, what other people are defining me to be? How come I don't look for the truth of who I am? Understanding that in God, who has claimed me and redeemed me, I have power. Why don't I stay in that power, live in that power? Every day turn to that power as my source to get through life. Well, we don't, because we've got all these distractions going on. It's like me yesterday, I had a day of being able to just do nothing. You ever get one of those? Every once in a while, the planets align, and you don't have really anything you have to do. And so I'm on the couch, and I'm watching, I don't even know what I was watching. That's how good the day was. I think it was the NFL Network. I know that. So it was a bunch of stories of people. But what I was doing was reflecting, being contemplative, allowing my kids to just play, just do whatever they want, tear up the house. Yeah, I know, my wife's not laughing, but let them do whatever they want. But in that, putting out the distractions, the worries, and just being at peace, just being grateful. I know there's things I want to do. I know there's goals I'm going after. I know that tomorrow there's things on the agenda, But right now, I'm just going to be at peace and be content. That's what the Holy Spirit wants. He wants us to find contentment, to enjoy this journey called life. And we do that, we have an awakening to what God is truly doing with us. Why? Because we do it in love. We're able to share who we are, truly who we are, with others. When we go out, we don't have to take on all the baggage of what life has done to us, show all our bumps and bruises, but we can show our love for one another. That's what we're called to do. Because that love is not just for me to hold and hide inside, because I could have just stayed on my couch for the rest of my life and just been content. But that love is designed for me to come out here today, re-energized from yesterday, and come out with a new spirit. Come out saying, hey, I know it's tough. I know life has its problems. I know you're going through things, but guess what? You've been redeemed. You've been saved. You've already claimed victory in Jesus Christ. So no matter what's happening, I'm here to tell you today, enjoy your journey, because on the other end of it, you have a salvation in heaven. Amen? Amen. On the other end of whatever's going on, don't you worry about it, because God has claimed you. He's redeemed you, and he's waiting for you in glory. And so we have that power. It's for you. God has given it with you through this Holy Spirit. Without the Spirit, we wouldn't know who God is. We think we're so smart. We've read books. We've done this. We've gone to church. We've listened to sermons. But all of it would be null and void. It would be on deaf ears. We would all be dead, dry bones. If not for the Holy Spirit, if not for that Ruach that breathed on those bones and brought them to life, we wouldn't hear anything. We wouldn't know that Jesus was real in our lives if not for the Holy Spirit. Charles Spurgeon says, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without wind. We are useless. That's how we are without God. We can run around and do all kinds of things, feel like we're actually accomplishing something. But without the Spirit, without the consciousness and the awareness of knowing that God is real in our lives and we are saved and sanctified and justified and we are righteous in His name, all of that would be for nothing. We wouldn't get it. We wouldn't understand it. I could be up here all day long. I could preach for 24 hours. But without the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't understand. You would leave here just as you came. So it's that Spirit that we lean on. Henrietta Mir says, I believe it is impossible for any Christian to be effective either in his life or in his service unless he is filled with the Holy Spirit, who was God's only provision for power. That's our truth. We are dead creatures. We are walking around just going through the motions without the Holy Spirit. Christ says, therefore, I want you to know that no one who was speaking by the Spirit of God would ever say that Jesus be cursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. So you know you're filled because you're here today. You know you're filled because at some points in life, you've prayed for help. You've said, Lord, help me. You've taken those issues to God. You felt his love in your life. You've seen how he's made a way when there wasn't a way. That's the Holy Spirit. It gives us this kind of awareness. As the band comes forward, understand you carry inside of you the church. We are a church of living stones. We are alive because of the Holy Spirit. It is working inside of us. It's not dormant. It's not waiting for anything.